I am glad you're all here today. This is the fourth week of our Advent series. First of all, I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Has anybody started Christmas shopping yet? Everybody started? At least started? All right. How many of you, since I began week one with this, I figured I'd say it again. How many of you are like halfway through or almost done kind of thing? All right. Has anybody even completely done? Oh, look at that. That's good. Yeah, I'm about halfway in that part myself. Tuesday, I will finish up, Lord willing. So if you could turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to be there for a little bit, a couple seconds really, actually not long, because I want to get into this. And so as you turn to Luke chapter 2, it's going to be verses 13 and 14 we'll talk about, but I want to go ahead and pray. Father God, again, we thank you, Lord Jesus, just for who you are. We thank you for your Son. We thank you that you sent him in a lowly manger, because you loved us so much. So, Father God, I pray, Lord, as we continue our series and as we lead up to Christmas Eve service and as we prepare our hearts and our minds, Lord, I pray that we have been helped, that we've been blessed through the season, knowing it's all about you. So, Father God, I pray that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord Jesus. Let them not see me, but they see you. And Father God, if we come in here with struggles and concerns and problems and trials, Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we just lay them at your feet so that we can totally focus on what you have for us. And these things I pray in your most precious holy name. Amen. So this is the final Sunday of Advent. And we lead up to our Christmas Eve service. And my prayer has always been that you have been able to focus this Christmas on just that. Just that we've journeyed towards Christmas. And you've been focusing on that. And not all the hustle and the bustle that is out there. And if you've been throughout the whole series of this Advent, and you've heard me the first couple weeks talk about that word Advent, and we talked about it as a version of a Latin term meaning coming. And that's what we've been doing. These 4 weeks leading up to Christmas has been our opportunity. It's been an excitement to me to look forward with great expectation, with great thrill to the coming of Christ. That we have spent our weeks of journey on hope, love, joy, and today peace. We've also talked about the star that was being our guide that we journeyed toward Christmas. And we've talked about that star was only briefly mentioned in Matthew in the Christmas account story, very shortly. But we know that it drew wise men, wise seekers in from a distance to a Savior thousands of years ago. And I'm thinking, as I've told you, I like to play a role and think about those times. And I can imagine that as they're journeying to the star and following the star, that they probably have gone over rough terrain. There may have been some smooth places to go in. They may some easy passages, some they probably couldn't get through. All this is happening. And as they're going, I'm sure they've probably traveled with some friends, maybe some other travelers who wanted to go see this star. We know that there were some hostile people around them, one being King Herod, that he wanted to be part of that and to be able to destroy Jesus as what he was trying to do. But through all these circumstances and all these surprises that they may have had on their journey, the star never faltered, nor did it ever fail. It continuously, faithfully pointed the way to Jesus. So together, as we continue to look for that light today, that star, as we follow the star on this journey of peace. And see, peace is something everyone wants, but guess what? Yet few people find it. And when you think of peace, so if I was to ask you a question, what do you think of peace? What would come to your mind? That's rhetorical, just think about it. What comes to your mind when you hear the word peace? Maybe to you it's a home that was filled with laughter and cuddling and some quiet moments of and just feeling good all about around about in your home. Maybe it's kids, teenagers doing what they're asked to do when they're asked to do it. Maybe that is peace to you. Maybe it's a workplace. Maybe it's a workplace that respects you as individuals, and maybe your creativity and your contribution. Maybe that is peace to you. Or maybe when this one really is peace to me, is when you're outside after a blizzard, after a big huge snowstorm, and you go outside and it looks crisp. and clear and pure. And most importantly, if you've ever been outside of a big snowstorm, it's very quiet. All the sounds are just completely washed out. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's a song that brings you peace. Like the song that we just sung, It Is Well With My Soul. See, that old song is loved by so many because of its message. Let me just read a couple lines. I'm not singing it. When peace, you already heard that part. When peace like a river that tendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. See, I don't know if you know about this, but that song describes such strength and such unwavering trust. The song has also become famous and more respected because of the story behind that song. And I don't know how many of you know the story behind that song. So today, I'm going to tell you. So this is what the deal was. I might pronounce his first name wrong, but his name is Horatio Spafford. And he was a businessman in Chicago in 1873. Now, he's already lost one child to a sickness. So he has four daughters and his wife. And he was on a business adventure, so he sent his wife and his four kids across Europe. And obviously, in 1873, you're talking about a ship. So they get on this ship, and they went ahead, and while crossing the Atlantic, the ship sank. All four of his daughters died. The wife survived. When the wife got to the land, she called her husband, well, however they got hold of their husband, telegram, whatever, and told him this, what happened. So he got on the first ship out, and he headed towards Europe. And while he was crossing the Atlantic, while he was getting to that journey where he's going near the place where his daughters had died, Spafford penned the words to that song. They read that again, those song words. When peace like a river attendeth my way, with sorrows, four children, now five, died. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, whatever situation I'm in, whatever's happening in my life, whatever's going on, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Think about that. The painful circumstances he faced make the lyrics that much more powerful. The words were not written by someone who was enjoying an easy life, but it was found in his peace, his deep, authentic peace, in the midst of a heartache. See, when we think of peace, we often think of the absence of hardships, trouble, violence, fear. We don't think about that when we think of peace. But as the hymn so beautifully captures, this journey of peace is not immune from those things. It happens. In fact, they are central to that story of that song. And on this journey, we're going to learn that peace is not absence of trouble, but rather the presence of God. See, so my question to you is, hopefully you can answer these questions today. What pain are you facing this season right now? What struggles are weighing you down? What anxiety, what stress are stirring up chaos in your spirit? And maybe these pressures and maybe these problems are external. Maybe they're eternal. But either way, they're just as real. And either way, the question is, are you willing to open your heart to God's peace, even in the midst of your struggles? So this journey of peace is certainly an appropriate journey for our world today. Think about that. Just as it was in ancient Rome when that first Christmas, and what it may have felt like then, our world is full of violence and warfare and uncertainty. And the pressures of our daily lives bombard us at an unbelievable pace. Ours is a world in desperate need of peace. But it is a world where the Prince of Peace has walked and has understood. He has come and He is present. His peace is available to us today. So today we are going to discover that peace together. I'm going to read these two verses from chapter 2, starting in verse 13. It says, "And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of a heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. If you're a note taker, the first point I want you to get there about this peace together is that there is peace in the midst. There is peace in the midst. Again, how do you picture that night Jesus was born? Now, you've seen pictures on TV, on screens, you've seen pictures, but how do you picture this? Think about that. Because there's so many images, right, that we can think of. So many songs on that picture of maybe like Silent Nights. A peaceful moment when all was calm and all was bright. But if that moment actually did happen on that first Christmas, I'm pretty confident it was a very brief moment. Think about it. Mary gave birth in an animal shelter. How peaceful is that? You understand the city of Bethlehem was overflowing with crowds of people who had arrived early after many dusty miles on a rough, dangerous road by foot and by livestock. Visitors started arriving to visit this new baby within hours of his unsanitized birth, mind you. And of course, let's not forget about King Herod, who was also in angry pursuit. And as we do that, we can't forget about the angels who were rejoicing and worshiping with excitement. It is no wonder, as we talked about last week, that an angel had to tell the shepherds first not to be afraid and then assure them that they were bringing a message of peace. See, there was noise, and there was hurt, and there was pain, and there was struggle, and there was fear that first Christmas. And all through this time, there was great joy and deep peace of the highest order. Does that sound familiar to you? See, our journey of peace this season is not one that's separated from the realities of life, but it's a journey of peace in the midst of life with all its noises and all its chaos. Andrew Peterson had written a song and sung the song, "The Rain Keeps Falling." And it illustrates this state of peace within the storms of life. And what I want to do is with you, I want to play that song. It's got lyrics on there. I just want you to listen to the song, read the words, and I'll get back up. So the lyrics contain a long and honest confession of so many struggles. And spoken over them were the words of Jesus when He said, "Peace. Be still." See, the result is a powerful picture of the reality of peace in the midst of life in a fallen world. It's a message that can either make you catch your breath or choke you up as those words wash over you. Sometimes we just need to pause in our lives. And as we journey toward Christmas, we need to acknowledge, let's acknowledge the fact that our lives are far from peaceful. And the eternal peace that's promised at Christ's second coming is still not yet realized. Peace, be still. See, Jesus brings peace right into the center of our hearts and our anxiety. And He brings the power to stop that noise. He brings the power to calm your storms. And He overwhelms our hearts when He restores our sense of perfect peace, because He is the Prince of Peace. And that's the second discovery that I want to share with you about peace, is that He is the Prince of Peace. See, the prophet Isaiah's words reveal something very important about peace. Isaiah 9:6 says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." See, peace is not just a feeling or a state of being. Peace is a person. See, Jesus is that Prince of Peace. And throughout Jesus' life, his teaching, we see that peace comes from the person of Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's God's presence with us. And so by sending His Son, God sent peace into the world. And so when we stay in Him, when we abide in Him, we have His peace. And as we have His peace, we learn to trust God with this, with our unpeaceable parts of our lives. And we find ourselves transformed within. See, in the middle of all that was happening that first Christmas, we're told that Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. That's what Luke 2:19 says. See, on the surface, Mary's life had to become more peaceful. If anything, things got even crazier with the announcement of her miraculous pregnancy and then the birth of a new baby. Think about it. They wanted Joseph to get rid of her. It was going to be terrible for her because you just don't get pregnant before you're married in those days. But Mary was learning to trust the one who was in control. And so when we can surrender our control, we stop worrying, we stop planning, we stop striving to the Prince of Peace, we can find rest in Him. See, the inner and outer chaos, your the anxiety, the noise, and the busyness of life may not change in your circumstances. They may always be there. But we can experience peace because we trust in the one who's in control. God's never promised to take away those things, but He has promised to give you peace. So where do you need to surrender? Where do you need to enter that journey of peace this season? Let me encourage you to experience the peace of Christ by taking the psalmist's words to heart. It's up on the billboard screen. It's just the first part of it. Be still and know that I am God. And if you look at that verse a little bit longer, it comes from a longer section of Scripture that states the power and the security of God. See, while the threat of the psalmist's face is not mentioned specifically here, it seems to relate to the pagan nations and a call for God to end the raging war. So while there is this raging war around yourselves in your everyday lives, God wants you to be still and know that He is God. And that He is in control of every situation that you're facing. And this stillness can be this precious thing in this busy Christmas season. But even a short pause, even just a brief moment, can allow us to breathe deeply and connect with Jesus Himself, who is the source of our peace. So what does this look like for you? Well, obviously start by pausing, even briefly, at the start of your day. Read Scripture. Have a conversation with God. Pray with Him. Pray to Him. Help do that to help align your day. But guess what? Things might happen during a day, right? So it may also mean pausing during your work day. Or in the middle of the shopping mall, wherever you may be doing, to breathe deeply and repeat some of the words from the Bible as a reminder and to realign yourself with God again. And maybe it's even just repeat the message, peace, be still. Let its truth wash over you. Wash over your troubled minds. Wash over your hurried minds. As it directs your attention to the speaker, the source of peace, which is Jesus. And that's the third thing that I want to lead you with, the discovery of peace. Number three is peace for the world. Peace for the world. See, Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. And as we stay, as we abide in Him, and as we experience peace in our souls, we know that peace doesn't always come to the world around us. And as we look around our world and read or hear the news, we know that there's refugees that are far from home. We know that there's anger in our family and in our friendships. We know that our neighbors are hurting. There's countries at war. All of this is going on around us. There's violence in our schools. We continue to live in the place of tension between the past, the present, and the future. And that place in a broken world still steering and reeling until God completes His restoration. Against that setting, our path may not look like a journey of peace, even as we look toward and we get near Christmas. But But we know that Jesus has brought peace to the world with His arrival. We read the scripture that says it. And He continues to fill us as a follower of Christ through His Spirit. But it's not until He comes again, when He comes again, that our world will experience complete and perfect peace. So you will have to live the way it is, because this is the way God has planned it. And how are we going to live it? So there is, when there is peace we experience now, we can shine the brightest. How do we do this? Because it doesn't always make sense against the surrounding circumstances. We have this peace that people just don't understand, right? The Bible tells us that God's peace is beyond our understanding. And yet we are encouraged to draw close to God and to rely on Him for His peace. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It doesn't make sense. It goes above our understanding. We don't understand how this works. We just know that there's a God out there who loves and cares for us and wants to give us that peace, that we can face that world out there who doesn't know this peace. It is too good to be contained by the limits of this world. If you are a follower of Christ, there should be joy, there should be peace, there should be love, there should be hope that we give to people. And when we stay connected with the Prince of Peace and come to Him in prayer in every situation, His peace flows over us to settle, to guard our hearts and our minds. And maybe this is a contradictory prayer. Think about this. So often when we come to God, we are asking Him to change our circumstances or change those around us. Right? That's our common theme of when we pray. But you know what? Sometimes He does that. But most of the time, He changes our hearts and our perspectives. Because we can't worry about the people around us. We can only worry about what we can do and how God can work in our own lives. So as we pour out our hearts and we connect with Him, we're able to see a little more like He does. We can trust more in His ability to handle things that no matter what, to settle in the peace of His goodness and His faithfulness. Knowing that it's all going to be okay no matter what, one way or another it may be. Why is that? Because He's holding us. He's in control. And that sense of understanding and that calm and acceptance acts like a guard around our hearts and our minds. It's a gift of peace that Jesus promised when He left this earth. John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Church, those aren't empty words. They're not. They are rooted in reality. And the deeper reality than the harsh conditions facing Jesus' followers at that time, the ones that He knew would come. And Jesus knew there was a lot of fear back then. I told you last week, words at least 365 times, the word fear, or be not afraid, is in the Bible. Not truth that is, but I heard that. So He knew there was going to be a lot out there. Because think about that. Back in those days, you had the threats of Herod. You want to kill every baby under 2 years old. Right? To His death, to His crucifixion. Jesus spent His whole life with people out to kill Him. He knew there was much suffering in store for His followers then and now. Yet He's told His disciples and He tells us not to be afraid. Why? Because He knows the ending. He wrote the final chapter. It's Him. He knows how it's going to end. He knows what troubles us. He knows what causes us to fear. And in the end of all that, His peace will overcome it all. It's going to sustain us through our difficulties, which in your situation may be enormous. But let me tell you something, they're very brief in the light of eternity. I couldn't find one. I saw this illustration one time, and this person had a long rope, probably like a 50-foot rope, and on the one end was a little red, like a plastic thing you would head so that they wouldn't tie off. And what he said was, "That is your life now. That long rope is eternity. We're here just a brief moment in the light of eternity. So whatever you're going through today, it's going to end. And if you're a follower of Christ, it's only going to get better." So as we journey toward Christmas, we can trust the promise for ourselves and for our world. And we can experience peace because we know the one we put our trust in. He is faithful and true. And as we've seen, He delivered us this unfailing promise as a Prince of Peace. So as we end our time today together, just pause, and I want you to pause and just listen to Jesus' words. "Peace, be still." See, let those words wash over you. Let them, repeat them yourself as much as you have to. Because the Prince of Peace has come. And He's coming again. Praise God. But until then, He gives us this message. Peace. Be still. For followers of Christ, if you're a follower, you're a believer in Jesus, that word "still" would mean this. It would involve looking to the Lord for our help. We look for Him for our help. But if you're God's enemies, if you're not a follower of Christ, if you're not part of the family, being still would mean stop fighting a battle you cannot win. You can't beat it. You can't beat Him. You can try all you want. You will lose at the end. So which side do you want? Do you want this peace that Jesus offers? Or are you okay with how your life is going right now? Let's pray. God, I just want to thank You, Lord. Father, thank You that in the middle of this chaos and this pain that we're going through, that's in our lives, You invite us into that peace. Father God, I pray that You would help us to stay connected with that Prince of Peace and to rest in that peace, Lord Jesus, that comes from trusting in You. Give us the courage to trust You, Father God, with our lives and with the situations that we see in our own lives and we see that's in the world. Fill us with Your peace. Keep us in Your perfect peace. Let it continually restore us, Father God, and draw us to Yourself. Let us bring that peace into this chaotic world that we live in. Use us, Father, to bring that peace, to bring that hope, to bring that love, to bring that joy. And Father God, if there's any in this room today, Lord, that doesn't know You as their Savior, Father God, I pray that today would be the day. Today they would say, "I want to be a follower of Christ." And Father, I'm not going to have them raise their hands and all that. You know who they are. You know what needs to be done. I just pray that they would come see one of us, Pastor Darrell and myself, afterwards, so that we could share that with them. But Father, maybe most of us are in here are followers of Christ, but we haven't had that peace that You give. We have a tendency of worrying about the world and the busyness and everything else going on, the chaos that's happening around us, that we just haven't had a chance to just be still and know that You're God. So Father God, I pray that I would lift You would lift each one of them up, Lord, that God, that as I pray for them, that they, Father God, would see that only You can supply this peace, and that they would be drawn near to You as each and every day they get up and they pray to You and they read Your word. And as You share and show them how to live. So Father God, I thank You for all that You do and all that You will do. And I pray, Father God, that we carefully give You the praise that You deserve. For this I pray in Your name. Amen.